Well, this is a dramatic ending to a dramatic story. Mark's account of the gospel has been described as a passion narrative with an introduction. But why does it end so suddenly? Did part of the scroll get lost? The added endings probably tell us more about the church, who couldn't cope with the ending as it was. So, my title for this sermon is To Be Continued. The end fits with the rest of the account of the gospel in Mark. It's short and it's sharp and it's real. Jesus' concern has been expressed earlier about keeping quiet until they know what to say. Perhaps these women had more sense than the men. They keep quiet. Luke twice tells the disciples to wait until they receive God's guiding spirit, the spirit that Jesus says will lead them into all truth. But this suspended ending leaves us uneasy, dissatisfied, wondering what happens next. Mark's account of the story of Jesus, his life, his ministry, his trial, and his death ends abruptly. We're left hanging, like the end of an episode of a soap opera. Well, if like me, you're an avid follower of Death in Paradise, you'll be waiting for the next series to start and find out whether D.I. Neville Parker and Detective Sergeant Florence Patrice continue their romantic relationship or not. But Mark's story ends here. We're annoyed. The story's only half told. Who rolled the stone away? Who was the mysterious young man in white? Was his message about Jesus being raised from the dead true? Did the disciples go to Galilee and see him? Did they hear the message when the women were too frightened to say anything? It's hardly surprising, is it, that people in the early church added endings to Mark's account. But if this is where the story ends, we're left with a number of problems. We have no witness to the resurrection, only the opened and empty tomb. Only the opened and empty tomb. We have no credible witnesses, at least as far as Jewish law was concerned, which needed the testimony of two reliable men, and we've only got women. If this is the end of Mark's account of the good news, if this is where it concludes with words of human failure, incomprehension, disobedience and fear, well, then we have problems. However, it's highly dubious to suggest that the end was lost or not remembered. So we're left to conclude that this is precisely the ending that Mark intended. Well, let's stop and look at the facts for a moment. Mark describes the reaction of the women in detail. It's vivid, it's real, terror, great alarm, fear. And alarm and terror and trembling are the natural human reactions when the power of God is around. It's hardly surprising that the women react in this way to the news of Jesus' resurrection. But the problem here is that throughout the gospel, fear has marked disbelief. If we casted our minds back to Jesus' word to Jairus, when news of his daughter's death was brought, and Jesus says, "Don't fear, only believe, have faith." All through his ministry, Jesus has met a lack of faith and failure and to do what he asks. Often he told his disciples to say nothing, and they have talked freely about the miracles that they've experienced. And now, when they have the greatest good news to share, Jesus' resurrection, they're silent. The human failure that has confronted Jesus' ministry is there right to the end. We find this ending uncomfortable. We want facts on which to make a judgment. Our knowledge of the other three accounts of the gospel lead us to expect a happy ending in which Jesus appears to his disciples. Mark, who is writing the first account that we have of the gospel, may be 30 years before Luke, and 30 years before Matthew, and 50 years before John's account, doesn't think it necessary. He has already told us that the tomb is empty, that Jesus has been raised. Maybe he saw that the end of the story was but the beginning of the good news about Jesus. Though we might still ask why he didn't end with the young man's announcement, instead of going on to describe the women's terror and silence. But perhaps Mark has a reason for ending here. The women who go to the tomb, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, are the same three who are witnesses to Jesus' death on the cross. They have been with him throughout his ministry from Galilee to Jerusalem. They had shown that they were Jesus' true disciples in following and serving him. And it is with their fear and their silence that the story ends. So let's look at faith. Consider the message that is presented by Mark. Resurrection is for real. Such a discovery does not fill us with joy, but with fear and total disbelief. It leads us to flee or to run away. We'll be reluctant to tell anybody else until we know exactly what it means. This is a story whose details fit with human emotional responses. We can rely on what Mark is talking about because the story is real as it echoes in our minds. When we tell the story to non-church folk, they're not necessarily going to be filled with joy. More likely, this story will lead to disbelief for the skeptic or fear for the sensitive. We must remember that our feelings are based on our living experience of the risen Christ, of God with us. Running away may be a common reaction to the story of the resurrection. There's going to be a search for confirmation, something to support such a view. Well, ending with the women's fear and silence is a challenge to believe. Human props are being knocked away. No facts, no eyewitness to Jesus alive, just an empty tomb and the promise made by a young man and the testimony of the women. Those who seek Jesus will not find him in the tomb. They must look for him themselves and not rely on the evidence of others. He is raised, he's not here, he's going ahead of you, and he will meet you on the road. Throughout his account, Mark challenges the reader to make up their own mind. Is Jesus' power from God or from Satan? Was he preaching with the authority of God or not? Is he or is he not the Messiah, the Son of God? Mark is continually challenging us to take this crucial step of faith for ourselves. Who do you say that he is? Right in the crux, right in the center of Mark's gospel. Who do you say that I am, says Jesus. However, Mark does not leave us there. He does present us with some clues that point us along the way. The tomb is empty. There is the message of the young man to the women and the promise that Jesus would appear to his disciples. But of course, you can interpret these clues in a number of ways. There have been grave robbers. Maybe the disciples have stolen the body. It's a political plot. The Jews or the Romans have taken the body away. It's a supernatural occurrence. Or the Jewish belief in the general resurrection at the end of time. Is this the end of time? How do we know what is true? Whether Jesus has been raised, whether the message is true. But if Mark had told us that Jesus had appeared to his disciples, well, that wouldn't necessarily persuade us either. Yet Mark's purpose is to persuade us of the truth of the gospel and to invite us to meet the risen Lord. So he gives us hints that will prompt us to come to the conclusion that he himself has come to. The large stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. The message reminds the disciples that Jesus had promised to go ahead of them to Galilee. Jesus' predictions of suffering and death had been fulfilled, so why shouldn't his words about being raised on the third day also be true? But the clearest hint is in the message sent to the disciples. If they want to see the risen Lord, then they must respond in faith. They must obey and they must go to Galilee, and there they will see Jesus. But here Mark doesn't tell us, as the other accounts of the gospel do, that the disciples did actually go to Galilee and they did meet Jesus. So why does Mark break off his story before the obvious climax? Well, could it be that he expects us, his readers, to set off on the journey to see Jesus? Does he demand that we finish the story ourselves? It's about following. As Jesus said, deny self, take up the cross-shaped life of sacrificial love and follow. We like happy endings, completeness. But this is precisely what Mark wants for his message too. We want concrete proof of Jesus' resurrection. And that's precisely what Mark wants us to find. So Mark encourages his readers to supply the response of faith, because it's only those who believe and set off on the journey of faith who will see the risen Lord. Perhaps we need to stop for a moment and remember how this gospel account was first heard. Yes, heard, not read. And heard in its entirety. This is the beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, says Mark. And he ends where we have ended. This is a story that we need to hear the whole of. We begin with John the Baptist pointing off stage to the one who is greater than he. And then Jesus appears on stage and we have his teaching and we have his miracles. And we end with another young man pointing off stage in the direction of Galilee and saying, go tell his disciples that he is gone before you to Galilee, and you will see him there. The end of Mark's story points us back to the beginning. We have come full circle, and the disciples will have to learn the painful lessons of discipleship all over again. This time, they will follow in the light of his death and resurrection. The words, just as he told you, will force them to think about the things that he taught them. He's gone before them and they must follow, just as they did on the way to Jerusalem. But there they were afraid and amazed because they were not yet fully prepared for discipleship. Now they're given a chance to begin again. The young man's proclamation is not only about resurrection, but it's also the offer of forgiveness and a new start for the disciples. The last word was with God. The message did become known. Otherwise, how is Mark writing his account? For Mark's hearers, if they fail, there is forgiveness. Even if the gospel is met with incomprehension and derision, it'll still triumph. The end of the gospel points us back to the beginning, to remind us to remember and learn from what we have heard. But then we're pointed to the future, following and encountering our risen Lord. As the disciples on the road to Emmaus discovered, Jesus will walk with us and make sense of our lives. We're encouraged to step out in faith and meet Christ, to share our experience, how we really feel, our anger and our joy, our successes and our failures, our anxiety and our fear, our doubt and our hope, sharing those experiences with Christ, because it's only when we share how we really feel, our true feelings, that he is able to meet our needs. And we will walk with him through life, through death, and into eternal life. The end of the gospel is our beginning of new life, life in the fullness that God wants for each one of us. And so I encourage you to continue or to begin to walk in faith and know the risen Christ accompanying each one of us in our lives. Amen.